This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Right now, live to Rome for the Pope's general weekly audience, the first weekly audience after his pilgrimage to Iraq. Ashley Nerona, our Vatican correspondent here on Relevant Radio. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. Buongiorno, John.
And the Holy Father is took today to take a look at the meaning of that of that trip to Iraq, but also, and it's something that we'll unpack later with Father Marcel Tyon, a number of the points that he talked about in his pilgrimage to Iraq are really applicable to us and our own families and just interpersonal relationships.
Well, I think so, John, because one of the main themes was peace and fraternity, and that is something we could all use more of. And so this four-day visit to Iraq was historic, as you mentioned, John, in many ways. The first pilgrimage of a pope to Iraq, the land of Abraham, it was the first papal trip for Pope Francis after 15 months of lockdown. And it's what Pope Francis is calling the completion of the project that Pope St. John Paul II had started, because, of course, Pope John Paul had planned to go to Iraq, but the trip was not able to happen ultimately. Now, remember, this is a country where Christians have suffered greatly, where millions of Christians have been displaced. And today, at the general audience, Pope Francis recapped his trip. He reflected on his trip. Some people are calling this trip a call for all Iraqis, no matter what faith, to come to live together in peace. Now, today, he confirmed that he felt the timing of the trip was both urgent and what he called perfect, because he said he felt it was willed by Providence as a sign of hope. So after years of war and terrorism that's been suffered in Iraq, and of course, right in the middle of a pandemic. Now, he began the audience today by thanking the Lord and all those who made the trip possible. And he noted just this feeling of penance that he felt throughout the entire pilgrimage. And that was really brought on when he drew near, when he met the suffering people, because he said he felt like he picked up their cross too. And he felt that especially poignantly when he met with survivors of terror and persecution. Now, despite the suffering, he said he saw so much joy in the followers of Christ. There was joy in the songs that they sang to welcome him, the colorful ethnic wear that they wore, and the dances that they did. So he called these people, the followers of Christ, a horizon to peace and fraternity, which of course very much echoes back the theme of the entire trip, which was you are all brothers. Now, he noted that the Iraqi people have the right to live in peace. They have the right to discover the dignity that belongs to them. But the challenge for any groups engaged in war and violence is to remember that the response to war is not more war, that it's not more weapons, but the response, he said, is fraternity. And he further emphasized the importance of Abraham, our father in faith, because he listened to God's voice promising him descendants, and then he left everything and he departed. So he remarked that while he was at Ur and looking at that same sky that Abraham did with his descendants, now, you know, it makes that theme of the trip, you are all brothers, seem even more special. And the Pope asked everyone, all the faithful, to pray for the people of Iraq that they may have the strength to start over in this incredibly difficult situation in which they live. And he remembered the many Iraqi immigrants who've left everything like Abraham did because of persecution. He encouraged them to keep the faith and to keep hope, and wherever they are, to weave friendship and fraternity. And then he noted that poignant message of fraternity, especially at the meeting that was held at the Syrian Catholic Cathedral of Baghdad. Now, that is the same church where in 2010, 48 people, including two priests, were killed during a celebration of the Holy Mass. So, he thanked again God for this gift of the apostolic journey. He asked all the faithful to pray for Iraq, to pray for the Middle East, and he pointed out that in spite of the destruction there, the palm trees, which he called a symbol of the country and a symbol of hope, those palm trees have continued to grow and bear fruit. So he said it is like fraternity because it can still be fruitful and grow despite the circumstances, John.
Ashley, talk about the importance, and maybe is it a look toward a more ecumenical effort, as he spoke very highly of Ali al-Sistani, the Muslim leader, and a time not only for religious but even political coming together with what's going on in the U.S. as well.
Yes, in fact, he met with Ali al-Sistani, the renowned Muslim leader there. He also met with other religious leaders there, and this is very much seen as a step forward, again, in that concept of fraternity. Another word that was commonly used was tolerance, and so these were big emphases of the Pope throughout that time. And as he reminded all of the faithful that even in war, even in these horrible situations, that in whatever it is that tear people apart, we have to remember that it is not violence that gets the last word. It is God.
Ashley Noronha with the Pope's General Weekly Audience this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We hear the ambient noise there in the background. Are more tourists starting to return to Rome and the Vatican?
Not quite yet, John.
Not yet.
I wish I could say it were so, but actually we are still in what's called the yellow zone in Rome. There's even talk of upscaling back to an orange zone, which would make restrictions even tighter. And we have been informed by our government that it will remain as such at least until after Easter. So that's kind of the new date that we're all looking at and hoping for what might come then. And so we shall see, John.
I'm sure Romans are praying to St. Francis of Rome, whose feast day was on Tuesday, right, Ashley?
Absolutely. You know, St. Francis of Rome is a co-patron of the Eternal City. And so you can imagine that she's very near and dear to all of the Romans. But John, even more so this year, because she is considered also the patron of people who find themselves in difficult situations that they don't want to be in. And I think that can describe a lot of people who are in lockdown right now. So what that is referring to is that when St. Francis of Rome was very young, she was only 12 years old. And she lived in the 14th century, by the way. And when she was 12, she felt that call on her heart to become a consecrated woman. But her parents did not agree. And in fact, they forced her to marry. Now, when she married, she indeed then made a happy and a holy home. She was blessed with three children. And sadly, though, when the Black Plague hit, two of her children died because of it. Now, her heart was so broken that it made her all the more sensitive and empathetic to people who were dealing with loss, who were grieving. And so she began all kinds of charitable activities toward the poor. And then her husband, her dear husband, was actually wounded in battle. He was in the military. And after that, she spent his last days nursing him, caring for him until he passed away. And after he did, she then completely dedicated herself to taking care of the sick during the Black Plague, to reaching out to the poor. And so she's known for her great generosity. And then she founded the convent of Tor Rispecchi. And so that exists today. Now, you mentioned her feast day yesterday, John, and the Romans to celebrate. Yesterday, there was a very special mass held at that convent, which, by the way, is only open one day a year. It's only open on her feast day. So the vicar of the Diocese of Rome, Cardinal Angelo Donatis, he actually celebrated the special mass there. And he spoke to all of us, asking all of us to remember charity. He said that charity should never end. He said St. Francis is an example of someone who didn't say, I'll be charitable tomorrow. Let me think about that tomorrow. So sure enough, she's a model to us all. And not many events were happening this year, but otherwise people would have been venerating her body at the Church of St. Francis of Rome in the Forum, and they would have been going to the place of her baptism at the Church of St. Agnes in Agone in Piazza Navona, John.
Ashley Noronha with the latest from Rome and the Vatican. Ashley and her husband John have the Truth and Beauty Project. Check that out online at truthandbeautyproject.com. It provides Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome, and we're hopeful that that time is coming very, very soon when you can visit Rome and when we can visit Rome with this radio program as well, and originate from St. Peter's Square. Ashley, thanks and God bless.
Oh, God bless you. Take care.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.